RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Timor-Leste discusses maritime cooperation. Indonesia support implementation of Iran P5+1 nuclear deal. Indonesian government to be better in combating terrorism. Now the news in detail. Officials from the Office of Indonesia's Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs have met with leaders of Timor-Leste to discuss maritime cooperation between the two countries. According to a press statement escorted by Republika on Tuesday, the meeting was held in Dili, Timor-Leste on January 17th to 18th. Deputy 1 for Maritime Sovereignty of the Office of the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Ari Hafaz Ugroseno, attended the meeting with Timor-Leste officials, including Timor-Leste's Prime Minister, Rui Maria de Araujo, its Foreign Minister, Leste Herenani Kulho da Silva, Minister of Oecusis Economic Development and Social Affairs, Maria Alkatiri, and Minister for Development Planning and Strategic Investment, Sanana Gusmao. Arif Hafaz Ugroseno said, discussions covered various kinds of maritime cooperation, including maritime border, fight against illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, and possibility of hydrocarbon investment by Indonesia in Timor-Leste. The result of the meeting would be followed up by technical teams. 100 Timor-Leste students are presently pursuing the study of geology in various universities in Indonesia. Indonesian government support the implementation of the nuclear deal as per the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action on Iran's atomic program, the Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesperson has said. Arman Atanasir, the spokesperson, said in a press statement made as quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday that the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action implementation indicated the success of the diplomatic approach pursued by Iran and P5+1, China, France, Germany, Russia, the United Kingdom, the United States, and the European Union. Indonesia appreciated the dialogue and the negotiation process between the two sides as they sought a peaceful solution and hoped that the plan of action could be implemented smoothly based on the agreement. Nasir added, the action should turn out to be a new chapter for Iran, enabling it to contribute in a major way to world peace and prosperity. Iran's atomic chief said, after implementation of the action, or comprehensive plan of action, Iran is planning to make good use of ties with the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA. The Indonesian government and other stakeholders which engage in law enforcement should be better in handling terrorism issues that are increasingly sophisticated and organized. That was stated by member of Commission 1 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, Martin Hutabarat, in a dialogue with RRI in Jakarta on Wednesday, January 20, 2016, related to the plan of government regulation in lieu of law or Perpu on terrorism, which will be issued by Indonesian President Joko Widodo, according to Martin Hutabarat. Currently, the role of terrorists are much more sophisticated, larger, and wider than the perpetrators of terror from previous time.
Indeed, in the future, we need to improve the coordination with all of our law enforcement agencies, particularly in the Commission 1. We will encourage our intelligence must be more powerful to face the more sophisticated terrorists. Previously, our intelligence was strong. It is easy to eradicate terrorism, but the role of terrorists is now much wider, larger, and more sophisticated compared to the past time.
Meanwhile, the Speaker of the Indonesian Council of Regional Representatives, or DPD, Irman Guzman, on the same occasion said that the state has a task to create a security and serenity from the threat of terrorism for Indonesian people's life. Therefore, Irman Guzman said that the government needs to conduct discussions with Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, and can be listened to Indonesian Council of Regional Representatives, DPD, before issuing the government regulation in lieu of law, Perpu, related to terrorism.
Terrorism issue is not only happening in Indonesia, but also in many developed countries such as France, the US, etc. So, of course, the state duty is to create a security serenity in this life. Therefore, it already needs to be fixed right away, whether through the government regulation in lieu of law or others. Of course, the government, in this case, president and his staff, certainly having discussion. The issue could be discussed again by the House of Representatives, DPR, and also listening to the Indonesian Council of Regional Representatives. However, the DPD also has supports the regions that formulation of Perpu is implemented on the right track.
Previously, there has been a bombing on Thursday, 14 January 2016 afternoon in front of Sarinah Shopping Center that caused 8 people died and at least 20 injured. The terror bomb was immediately got reactions from the world, and a number of friendly countries such as the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, Singapore and the Philippines, and some other countries strongly condemned the terror bomb and support the Indonesian government effort in combating terrorism. The government plans to monitor Indonesian citizens who have just returned from Syria and joined the ISIS after the initial consultation meeting to revise a law on the prevention and eradication of terrorism. Indonesian Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung told that there were more than 100 people in Indonesia who returned from Syria but did not get special attention. On Tuesday, at the presidential office, Pramono said, countries like Malaysia and Singapore have given special attention to citizens who returned from Syria and the countries have succeeded to prevent terrorism. However, Pramono has not explained in detail what action and special treatment to be given to those who have just returned from Syria.
Kalau di negara-negara lain,
in other countries, people who return from Syria will be given an electronic bracelet so that they may be monitored wherever they are. Therefore, bomb threats in Malaysia could be defeated for 3 times. Well, we would think how to monitor them in Indonesia. On the same occasion, the Coordinating Minister for Political Law and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said the preventive action taken by security officers will be improved by temporary arrest of suspected terrorist members who are considered threatening the country. Luhut realized that the arrest of suspected terrorists would not necessarily solve the problem of terrorism. However, he believes this way will strengthen the intelligence work in exploring information and narrowing the space for terrorist groups. Earlier, President Joko Widodo plans to revise anti-terrorism laws, which is considered not effective in preventing terrorism. In a press statement after the meeting, Chairman of Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, said the leader of state institutions agree with President Joko Widodo to revise the law on prevention and criminal acts of terrorism financing. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The issue of human rights protection become a focus in global business practices due to the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community. ASEAN needs to immediately formulate effective rules for the protection of human rights relating to business. This was said by Indonesian representative to the ASEAN Intergovernmental Commission on Human Rights Commission, Rafendi Jamin, on the National Seminar on Progress in the Implementation of UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights in Indonesia on Tuesday in Jakarta. Rafendi asserted, not all ASEAN member countries have a national action plan for business and human rights. ASEAN must immediately formulate guidelines on business and human rights related to the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community and related to the movement of goods and services. Secondly, the absence national action plan on human rights in ASEAN. Not all of the 10 ASEAN countries had national action plan. Only Indonesia and Thailand have the national action plan. But it does not become an obstacle that only two countries have the national action plan. Rafendi explained, most corporations and major investment intra and inter-ASEAN are strongly associated with human rights issues. The guidelines can be a reference for stakeholders to formulate the national action plan. Guidelines are expected to stimulate the ASEAN countries to draw up national action plans. In addition, the guidelines may encourage cooperation among ASEAN countries in the field of human rights. In 2011, the UN has issued guidelines for business and human rights or UN guiding principles of business and human rights. However, the guidelines have not been implemented in all countries because it is not binding. Construction will officially begin for the Jakarta to Bandung high-speed rail project on Thursday, January 21, 2016, at the groundbreaking ceremony, said Chinese Ambassador to Indonesia Xi Feng at a press briefing held in his residence on Tuesday, January 19, 2016. Chinese State Councillor Wang Yong and President Joko Widodo will both attend the ceremony, signaling the beginning of the single largest cooperation deal between Indonesia and China. Xi Feng said, the Jakarta to Bandung high speed will serve as a new starting point for promoting Indonesia-China comprehensive strategic partnership and delivering more tangible benefits to the people of both countries. The project is the first of its kind in Southeast Asia and would see Chinese and Indonesian companies working together on the three-year infrastructure project. The project will drive the development of supporting industries such as smelting and manufacturing. It will create jobs and increase government revenue. The project is scheduled to be completed in 2019. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. A top government official has confirmed plans to take as many as 4 business areas off the negative investment list, DNI, thereby making them fully open from foreign investment, namely cold storage, grain, rubber, sugar, and e-commerce. Investment Coordinating Board BKPM Chairman Frankie Sibarani said, e-commerce will be open 100% for foreign investment with a partnership requirement. With regard to the marketplace, further discussions will follow as there is a provision regarding products sold in the marketplace. Frankie explained that startups with initial capital below 10 billion rupiah or $718,000 will remain protected in line with Law Number 20/2008 on small and medium enterprises. In cold storage, grain, rubber, and sugar businesses, meanwhile, the government would allow foreign investors to own stakes of up to 100%. A provision on retail, including department stores, supermarket, and mini market, meanwhile, it's still being discussed by concerned ministries. The Trade Ministry's Director General for Domestic Trade, Sri Agustina, said small retail business would continue to be reserved for local players. To end the news, Here are the headlines once again. Indonesia and Timor Leste discuss maritime cooperation. Indonesia support implementation of Iran P5+1 nuclear deal. Indonesian government to be better in combating terrorism. That was the news.
Listener, here is commentary for today entitling Economic Sanction Against Iran Has Been Lifted. The people of Iran on Saturday welcomed the lifting of economic sanction against Iran. The UN nuclear watchdog has confirmed that Iran has taken steps to reduce its nuclear program plan, including freezing most of its production of nuclear materials that could be used to make nuclear bombs. Iran also promised to be more transparent about its nuclear program by allowing the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, to monitor Tehran's atomic plans. Soon after the announcement of the UN watchdog, the European Union, followed by the United States, revoked economic sanction against Iran. The lifting of the economic sanction includes oil sale permit, the ban lifting of financial transaction that has crippled the economy, thawing frozen assets amounted to $100 billion, and the restoration of trade relations with other countries. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani and his staff should celebrate the lifting of sanction. In last 2013 presidential election campaign, the moderate leader promised to build the Iranian economy and improve relations between Iran and countries around the world. The nuclear deal allows the realization of that promise. Rouhani called the nuclear deal as a new window to get in touch with the world. He also said that fresh investment and disbursement of assets abroad will accelerate the transformation of the country with high inflation rate and unemployment. At the top of the Iranian shopping list, there is a purchase of 100 Airbus airplanes. The lifting of sanctions was followed by exchanging of prisoners between the U.S. and Iran. Iran freed 5 U.S. prisoners, while the U.S. freed 7 Iranian prisoners. However, the nuclear deal and the prisoner exchange do not necessarily remove all disagreements between Iran and Western countries, especially the U.S. An Iranian-American businessman, Siamak Namazi, is still being held in Iran. A former FBI agent, Robert Levinson, disappeared in Iran in 2007 in a CIA mission. His whereabouts is still unknown. Iran still supports the Syrian president, Bashar Assad, who want to be ousted by the U.S. and Arab countries, although both parties are equally attacking ISIS. Meanwhile in Yemen, the U.S.-backed Arab coalitions attack Iranian-backed Shah rebel forces. President Rouhani himself said, although there is an agreement, Iran will not trust the U.S., who has made the Iranian people suffer because of the U.S. broken promises. In Washington, D.C., President Barack Obama welcomed the lifting of sanctions against Iran and the exchange of prisoners. Soon, however, the U.S. government announced new sanctions against 11 Iranian citizens suspected of supporting Iran's nuclear weapons program. Disagreement and mistrust continue to overshadow the relation between Iran and the U.S. and its allies. Hopefully this time, the nuclear deal will last long, as the Iranian people and the world have long suffered under the pressure of the economic sanction. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from January 20th, 1961. John F. Kennedy is sworn in as the 35th U.S. president at 46 years old. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, or better known with John F. Kennedy, was inaugurated as the 35th U.S. president at the age of 46 years. He was also regarded as a symbol of liberalism of America. In 1960, he became the second youngest president after Theodore Roosevelt. Kennedy has inaugurated on January 20, 1961. In his inauguration speech, Kennedy said about the importance of American people to be an active citizen. Kennedy was famously known with remark, "Do not ask what your country has been done for you. Ask yourself, what can you do for your country?" He also asked countries in the world to fight against the real evil of humans such as cruelty, poverty, disease, and war. In 1963, John F. Kennedy died by bullet when he visited Dallas or Texas on November 22, 1963. On January 20, 1965, Indonesia withdrew from the United Nations membership. Indonesia was officially become the 60th member of the United Nations on September 28, 1950, in accordance with resolution of the UN General Assembly about the acceptance of Republic of Indonesia for a membership in the United Nations. On January 20, 1965, Indonesia announced its decision to withdraw from the UN membership. Since it has been reunited on September 28, 1966, Indonesia remained an active UN member country in supporting many activities, especially focusing on peace and security issues, as well as environment and climate change. And we conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event that happened January 20, 1996. Arafat is elected as Palestinian president. The Palestinian general elections of 1996 were the first election for the president of the Palestinian National Authority, PNA, and for members of the Palestinian Legislative Council, PLC, the legislative arm of the PNA. They took place in the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem on January 20, 1996. Following the elections, a government was formed, headed by the president of the Palestinian National Authority, Yasser Arafat. The president was elected by a simple popular vote. Western media referred to this event as the first democratic presidential elections for the Palestinian nation. Yet the fact remained that more than 2 million refugees outside the occupied area, which constituted the majority of the Palestinian people, were not allowed to exercise their voting rights by the Zionist regime. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Void Green. Today we'll talk about a new begonia species is founded in North Sumatra. Researchers at the Center of Plant Conservation Botanical Garden of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI discovered two new species of begonia plant species in Gunung Loser National Park, North Sumatra. Researchers at the Center of Plant Conservation Botanical Garden LIPI, Wisnu Ardi, said two new species of flora that grow in groups and adjacent to the scarce rocks. He explained that the two new plant species, namely Begonia oliveaceae RD and Begonia simolapensis RD, are endemic plant of Gunung Loser National Park, which stores high wealth of flora and fauna. Wisnu Ardi said, "Begonia oliveaceae has a characteristic morphology with a small posture and stalks. The plant has dull green color leaves, with purple in between the bone of the leaves, somewhat asymmetrical shape and flat. This species has a kinship with Begonia nuri from Kelantan and Begonia dropiae from West Sumatra. Meanwhile, the Begonia simolapensis species has characteristics larger size leaves with shiny green color, longer petiole, and bushy hair. The species grows on the rocks, of course, at an altitude of 250 up to 600 above sea level, scattered in North Sumatra province and Aceh. Both have the potential to be developed as an ornamental plant. Based on information from the International Union for Conservation of Nature, these species included into the conservation status of low-risk category that does not include into endangered plant species. Vishnu Adisat, the discovery of the species is the result of exploration between the Royal Botanic Gardens Edinburgh, the United Kingdom, with the Centre for Plant Conservation Bogor Botanical Garden since 2011. One of the objectives of the cooperation is to unveil the uniqueness of the plant in Gunung Loser National Park. According to Vishnu, collaborative research is badly needed to be learned and sharing knowledge on how to maintain the beauty of the flora and fauna in the future. Previously, the research team has also discovered 13 other plant of begonia species from various provinces in Indonesia. The discovery of two new begonia species has been published in the form of papers, published in the European Journal of Taxonomy in December 2015 with a research collaboration with Deden Girmansyah, who is a researcher at LIPI Biological Research Center, and researchers from the Royal Botanic Gardens Edinburgh, Mark Hodges. Listener, that was Voy Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, January 20, 2016. We begin the headlines with Media Indonesia, which wrote Terrorism Law Amendment into Prolegnas. After agreed by the whole high state institutions, the first step to begin the amendment of Terrorism Act was taken by the government. Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lauli said, the step includes preparing the points of amendment to be put into the 2016 National Legislation Program or Prolegnas. The main substance proposed to be revised is the authority expansion for the police to prevent the terrorist attacks. Related to the issue, the Politic, Legal and Security Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan explained, the substance of the amendment being discussed is enabling arrest towards those alleged to conduct terrorism. With such authority, the police or other security apparatus will be able to arrest temporarily those allegedly conduct the terrorism. The main goal is, according to the Minister Panjaitan, giving preventive authority. The authority itself includes the government that can revoke citizenship status for Indonesian citizens who came from Syria. Besides that, the apparatus are also allowed to detect all Indonesians coming back from Syria. Republika newspaper also highlight the anti-terrorism law amendment. Republika wrote, be careful in revising the anti-terrorism law. The government, along with several institutions, on Tuesday, January 19th, finalized the plan of amending the Law No. 15-2003 on terrorism eradication. On the other side, many voices which asked the people to wary of the amendment appeared. Indonesian Ulama Council Chairman Din Syamsuddin reminded, the points of amendment must still guarantee human rights of the people, including the freedom of association and freedom of speech. The amendment must not be a tool to conduct repressive act and intimidation towards the people. Din agreed, although it is open to be perfected along with the need and situational demand. This includes the anti-terrorism regulation. However, the amendment should be comprehensively conducted. Human Rights National Commission or Komnas HAM member Maneger Nasution said, after the MH Tamrin incident, the desire to revise the Anti-Terrorism Act is really hard to repress. However, the amendment must be conducted very carefully. Before amending the act, the government should provide room to listen and absorb public aspiration. Meanwhile, Tempo in its headline wrote, Bahrun strike in Tamrin terror. National Police of Indonesia indicated Bahrun Naim as the mastermind not long after the shooting and bombing at Tamrin, Jakarta, Thursday last week. However, until Tuesday, January 19, the police is still concealing the legal status of the man who was born in Pekalongan, September 6, 1983. There are two matters under investigation by the National Police to confirm Bahrun's strike in the terror that killed 8 people, including 4 of the alleged terrorists, namely Dian Johnny Kurniadi, Afif, also known as Sunakim, Muhammad Ali, and Ahmad Muhazin. The two matters include Bahrun fund transfer from Syria to the terrorists and Bahrun's involvement with ISIS in Syria. According to the National Police Headquarters Public Relations Head, Anton Charlian, the National Police is investigating the report of Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center, or PPATK, related to 10 reports of suspicious transactions that is alleged to be flowing to the terrorists in Tamrin. Previously, the National Police Chief Badruddin Haiti said the fund was transferred 4 times, amounting to 40 to 70 million rupiahs from Syria through the Western Union. The police, according to Anton, is cooperating with Interpol and other intelligence agencies to spy on Bahrun, who is suspected to be in Raqqa, Syria. Listener, we end today's headline with Sindo. Drug mafia becomes more brutal. Police's effort in eradicating drug network faced a challenge. Anti-drug operation held by the police on Monday, January 18th, faced brutal resistance from the drug mafia, which even killed one officer. Brigadier Hidayat passed away after escaping from the mess by jumping into the Ciliwung River on Monday afternoon. During the raid at Kebon Manggis Street, Matraman, East Jakarta, two other officers were also injured due to beating. Head of National Narcotics Agency General Commissioner Budi Waseso asked alertness of the related parties because the drugs mafia became more brutal in resisting the law enforcers, even using guns. This case happens not only in Mexico, United States or Italy, but also in Indonesia. Listener, there was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Officials from the Office of Indonesia's Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs have met with leaders of Timor-Leste to discuss maritime cooperation between the two countries. Indonesian government support the implementation of the nuclear deal as per the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action on Iran's Atomic Program, the Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesperson said. Arman Atanasir, the spokesperson, said in a press statement on Tuesday that the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action implementation indicated the success of the diplomatic approach pursued by Iran and P5+1, or China, France, Germany, Russia, the United Kingdom, the United States, and the European Union. The Indonesian government and other stakeholders which engage in law enforcement should be better in handling terrorism issues that are increasingly sophisticated and organized. That was stated by member of Commission 1 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, Martin Hutabarat, in a dialogue with RRI in Jakarta on Wednesday, January 20, 2016, related to the plan of government regulation in lieu of law, or Perpu, on terrorism, which will be issued by Indonesian President Joko Widodo. The government plans to monitor Indonesian citizens who have just returned from Syria and joined the ISIS. After the initial consultation meeting to revise a law on the prevention and eradication of terrorism, Indonesian Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung told that there were more than 100 people in Indonesia who returned from Syria but did not get special attention. The issue of human rights protection became a focus in global business practices. Due to the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, ASEAN needs to immediately formulate effective rules for the protection of human rights relating to business. Construction will officially begin for the Jakarta and to Bandung high-speed rail project on Thursday, January 21, 2016. At the groundbreaking ceremony, said Chinese Ambassador to Indonesia, Si Feng, at a press briefing held in his residence recently. A top government official has confirmed plans to take as many as 4 business areas of the negative investment list thereby making them fully open for foreign investment, namely cold storage, green rubber, sugar, and e-commerce. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Purwakarta, West Java to enjoy the beauty of Taman Sri Baduga Water Fountain. Stay tuned. Purwakarta is a regency in West Java province, with Purwakarta as its capital city. Purwakarta Regency is located at the strategic point of three major traffic corridors, namely Purwakarta-Jakarta, Bandung and Purwakarta, Purwakarta-Cirebon. Purwakarta Regency has a motto, Wibawa Karta Raharja. Wibawa means the authority of dignity. Karta means credit or life, and Raharja means proper state, so that Purwakarta can be meant as respected, dignified, lively, life, as well as wealthy or prosperous region. Listeners, to attract tourists to come to Purwakarta, Regional Government of Purwakarta has made Taman Sri Baduga Fountain. Taman Sri Baduga Fountain is not only the biggest fountain in Indonesia, but also in Southeast Asia. The development of this fountain has been held since 2013 until 2015 and finished in 2016. Although the construction of this fountain has only reached 90%, the public interest has been remarkable. On Saturday night, January 9, 2016, thousands of Purwakarta people flocked Taman Sri Baduga Maharaja Situ Bulut, Purwakarta, West Java, to witness the launching of the biggest fountain in Southeast Asia. Even people mention that its fountain is competitor of Wing of Times in Singapore. Precisely at 10 p.m. local time, Taman Sri Baduga Fountain was inaugurated by Purwakarta Region, Dedi Mulyadi, and he also said that this fountain is opened for the public. To see and enjoy this fountain is free of charge. Listeners, Taman Sri Baduga Maharaja Fountain performs dances with various animations through aqua screen. Besides that, the fountain also shows fountain with flame shape and various other uniqueness. The fountain follows musical rhythm and the height of the water reaches 6 meters. Besides that, this action is followed by other fountains at surrounding area. The park is around 2 hectares wide. The dancing fountains is more luxurious with color laser light coming from all wind directions. Listeners, Taman Sri Baduga Maharaja Fountain Performance will be held every Saturday night in two seasons. The first season is started from 7:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. local time, and the second season is from 10 p.m. until 1:30 a.m. local time. This fountain is also open on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. until 9 a.m. local time. At the location surrounding the circle road of the fountain, there are places for creative economic players, such as painters, Purwakarta typical craftsmen, etc. So visitors can buy souvenirs after watching the dancing fountains. Taman Sri Baduga Fountain is expected to increase the number of tourists in Purwakarta. Besides enjoying the dancing fountain, you can also enjoy Purwakarta typical food such as maranggi satay and also simping crackers. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Introducing you Indonesian vocabularies and idioms as well as their use in conversation. Today's topic is membeli buku dan boneka, or in English means buying book and doll. Stay tuned. As usual, I will say Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to today's topic. I will say them twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Selamat sore. Selamat sore. In English, good afternoon. Sore ini. Sore ini. In English, this afternoon. Rencana. Rencana. In English, plan. Pergi. Pergi. In English, to go. Kemana? Kemana? In English, where? Pusat perbelanjaan. Pusat perbelanjaan. In English, shopping center. Membeli. Membeli. In English, to buy. Buku cerita bergambar. Buku cerita bergambar. In English, picture storybook. Boneka. Boneka. In English, doll. Untuk siapa? Untuk siapa? In English, for who? Anak perempuanku. Anak perempuanku. In English, my daughter. Usia berapa? Usia berapa? In English, how old? 5 tahun. 5 tahun. In English, 5 years old. Well, listener, now we give you a conversation example between Lina, or A, and Sari, or B. I will say them two times slowly, and you can repeat after me. A. Selamat sore, Sari. Selamat sore, Sari. In English, good afternoon, Sari. B. Selamat sore, Lina. Selamat sore, Lina. In English, good afternoon, Lina. A. Sore ini, kamu ada rencana kemana? Sore ini, kamu ada rencana kemana? In English, do you have any plans this afternoon? B. Ke pusat perbelanjaan. Ke pusat perbelanjaan. In English, I am going to the shopping center. A. Ingin membeli apa? Ingin membeli apa? In English, what do you want to buy? B. Saya mau membeli buku cerita bergambar dan boneka. Saya mau membeli buku cerita bergambar dan boneka. In English, I am going to buy a picture storybook and a doll. A. Untuk siapa? Untuk siapa? In English, for who? B. Untuk anak perempuanku. Untuk anak perempuanku. In English, for my daughter. A. Anakmu usia berapa? Anakmu usia berapa? In English, how old is your daughter? B. Usianya 5 tahun. Usianya 5 tahun. In English, 5 years old. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to a senior singer in Indonesia, namely Hari Mukti. But previously, we'll follow the story of his career. Now, let's listen to a song by Hari Mukti entitled Lintas Melawai. Happy listening. Arimukti's figure with a little bit eccentric in every stage performances around 90s era, not imagined that he would become a da'i or more popularly called the cleric. Yes, Ustad is familiar call of him currently because the defendant activities from pulpit to other pulpits, preaching to a crowd of pilgrims from various circles. In his young age, singing seems to have a memorable and become a beautiful memory for Harimukti. Listener, coming up next, Harimukti in his song, Hanya Satu. Enjoy the song.
Hanya satu kata, tiada sempat terucap. Walau kita berjumpa dan saling menyapa, hanya satu kata, kembali karam di hati. Walau sering bicara sampai lupa waktu, di mana ku harus mencari sebuah kata yang hilang saat denganmu. Bukan banyak kata ketika ingin bicara tentang bara di dada, cukup satu kata. Di mana ku harus mencari sebuah kata yang hilang saat denganmu? Bukan banyak kata ketika ingin bicara tentang bara di dada, cukup satu kata.
Together with a number of musicians such as Indra Lesmana, Harimukti released an album which nicely created with energical music genres. The songs of Harimukti have directly succeeded in the music market, especially young generation. At that time, the young generations in Indonesia tend to accommodate metropolitan teen style, so Harimukti come as representative of them. That's why Harimukti presents as an idolat at that time, and his recording albums became his album in the country. Although his work in the music industry was relatively short, he has given specific color to the development of music in the country. Well, listener, to conclude our regular music corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Ada Kamu and Nona Nona by Harimukti. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta, 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.